Welcome to Truth and Circumstances, where we apply the truth of God's Word to the difficult situations of real life. I'm Kyle Lamb, and with me is Greg Birdwell, preaching pastor at Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio. All right, before we get started, once again, our 100th episode is even closer. And to celebrate, we're going to have a contest for the best question. And to remind you, it doesn't have to be a circumstantial question. It can be theological, any questions. Everybody's got questions they've had in the back of their mind. Pull those out of the deep recesses of your subconscious and submit them.
They do have to be broadly theological.
I'm sorry.
We don't answer like mechanical automotive questions.
Weird right? noises in your car. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And here's the exciting thing. The winner gets a gift certificate to missionalware.com. And please, again, check that website out. That'll inspire you even more to submit some questions because there's some awesome gear on there. Last time I mentioned, I have a hat that says Soli Deo Gloria. They also have a hat that says Theology Matters.
Yes.
What a great way to start some conversations and
yes.
share the gospel.
If you're enthusiastically reformed, you will love missionalware.com.
Yeah, it's a great website. And again, we're giving a gift certificate, and that's going to be for the best question. Now, the winning question will be answered on the 100th episode, which will be posted on March 12th. And it's going to be answered by a special guest. It's probably going to be live streamed, so it's going to be great.
Let's go out on a limb and say it's not probably going to be live streamed. Well, we should say, Lord willing, it'll be live streamed.
That's right.
But as far as it depends upon us, it's going to be live streamed.
Yeah, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Now, the last day to submit these questions will be March 5th, so don't hesitate. Do it immediately.
If you've already submitted a question, keep submitting questions, because every question that you submit increases your odds of winning.
Yeah, and like we said last time, they cannot be anonymous if you want to win. Otherwise, we won't know who submitted the great question. So
we appreciate any question, but if you want to win,
yeah.
we need a name attached to it.
Absolutely. All right, so to today's question, is it biblical to pursue wealth of any kind? My husband and I are learning about financial responsibility, living debt-free, and saving and investing. But I am curious if pursuing wealth of any degree is dangerous for our spiritual well-being. While I know Scripture describes the huge separation between God and money and serving two masters, I wonder if it is unbiblical to pursue some wealth for security for our family, giving back to missions in our church, and serving the Lord outside this country. I'm not sure what to think or do.
Well, it's clear from the question that when the questioner says pursue wealth, she does not have in mind chasing after money so as to stockpile and hoard it. She says explicitly that she's talking about living debt-free, saving, investing, being able to give generously to others. So it sounds like just wise planning for the future. So is that unbiblical? Is it unbiblical to just plan for the future?
No, we would say no. It's wise to plan for the future.
Yeah, it's wise. You know, it's difficult to read Proverbs and not come to that conclusion. I think of Proverbs chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. You know, if you think of all of the animals that the Bible talks about, and the Scriptures commend to us the ant. Proverbs 6, 6. Go to the ant, O sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. Without having any chief, officer, or ruler, she prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest. In other words, the Proverbs here are saying, look at the ant. Even the ant thinks ahead and prepares food in the summer to be gathered in harvest. So it's saying, hey, look, the ant is wise to do this. You would be wise to do the same thing. It's wise to prepare ahead of time. And then I think about the parables that Jesus taught. How many of them are there in which Jesus talks about the wisdom of planning or gaining a return on an investment? Of course, the point of Jesus' parables was that when he returns on the last day, he's expecting his disciples to have worked until he comes. But the reason that those parables communicate well is that they're based on the self-evident truth that it's wise to plan for the future. It's foolish not to plan for the future. And I would include here that it's also wise to avoid debt as much as possible. Now, I won't go as far as some would say by saying that debt is sinful, but Proverbs 22:7 says that the borrower is the slave of the lender. So we should avoid debt if at all possible. So, you know, the questioner mentions wanting to be debt-free. I think it's wise to strive to be debt-free. And in fact, if this is what we mean by pursue wealth, and that is plan for the future, manage our money well, be generous, strive to be debt-free, we could say that it would be wrong not to do that. Anyone who doesn't is what Proverbs would call a fool. So I think what the questioner has described here is actually wise. It's a wise way to go.
Yeah, and so to keep in mind, we need to be careful to keep earthly and heavenly pursuits in their proper order.
Yeah, and so I would say this to the questioner, not because I think that she's not doing this. I think that she is. It sounds to me like the questioner is already doing this, keeping earthly pursuits and heavenly pursuits in their proper order. Just as a general principle, I would say this to everyone else. In Matthew 6:25, Jesus told us, "Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" So he says, don't worry about material things. Now, that's not the same thing as saying, give no thought whatsoever to what you'll eat or what you'll drink. Paul says in 1 Timothy 5:8 that not to provide for your family is to deny the faith. If you don't work and provide, then you're worse than an unbeliever. Plus Proverbs, as we've already noted, it praises hard work and industriousness and planning. There's also the virtuous woman in Proverbs 31 who not only works hard in her home, but she also works outside the home. The Lord Jesus in Matthew 6 is simply saying, don't be anxious about these things. When we become anxious about material things, we've allowed them to become too big to us, and we are in danger of making material things more important than God. Now, poor people can do this, and rich people can do this. Poor people can be lovers of money, rich people can be lovers of money. And it is the love of money, the love of security, that is at the heart of the person who is anxious about such things. It's the love of money that Paul condemns in 1 Timothy 6:10, where he says, "For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. It's through this craving that some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pangs." So to not trust God ultimately for what you need can lead you away from him. And that's why Jesus eventually says in Matthew 6:33, "Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." So we want to keep spiritual pursuits as our primary aim, and our physical pursuits will be blessed.
Amen. Yeah, keeping a close watch on your heart and paying attention to your motives is, I think it's more obvious than we make it out to be too. Typically, we know if we're starting to pursue wealth over the Lord. I mean, you just, what are your heart motives beneath it all?
Absolutely.
And if we tend to rationalize every step we're taking, okay, this is okay because of this, this may be a red flag for you. So yeah, and now that what goes hand in hand of this is being as generous as possible. This is a great way to combat pursuing wealth.
You're exactly right. It's a great way to combat it, and it's a great way to gauge where your heart is in relation to pursuing wealth. Is pursuing wealth becoming more important to me than serving the Lord? This is a great way to figure that out. Am I being generous? Everything belongs to the Lord. Okay, Psalm 24 says that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Everything in the earth belongs to the Lord because he has made it. That includes you and me and everything else. So think about this. Those of us who own a home, our names may be on the deed of that home, But God owns that home because he owns everything. We are stewards of God's stuff. So we shouldn't hoard anything at all, but we should be extremely open-handed with it. In Mark 12, Jesus praised the widow who gave out of her poverty as opposed to those who gave out of their abundance. So we want to be careful not to give out of our abundance, but to give sacrificially. And we see Paul praising this kind of thing also in 2 Corinthians 8, where he said of the Macedonian churches that they gave based not really on what they could afford, but based upon the needs of the people that they were giving to. Okay, and he says that we have this great example in Christ. This is 2 Corinthians 8:9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. So Jesus is our great example. We give to others based upon their need, not based upon our surplus. And when you live like God owns everything that you have, which he does, then everything he has becomes yours, it seems. You never have to worry about what you need. Listen to Proverbs 3, verses 9 and 10. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. So it is wise to plan for the future, to invest, to save, to live debt-free. We just want to make sure that we are keeping spiritual pursuits in their proper place as a higher priority, and that we're being as generous as possible, understanding that everything we have belongs to the Lord. Now, as I look back over my life and I think about some of the most generous people that I have ever known, I've known people that were very wealthy that were extremely generous, and I've known people that were not well-to-do at all that were extremely generous. Both of those people never needed to worry about material things. Hmm. My best friend, when I was a kid, his parents didn't have much at all, but they were some of the most generous people I ever knew. They never did without. The Lord made sure that they always had what they needed. And they never worried. They never worried. But when they saw somebody that needed something, they gave it to them. Mm. And God kept his word.
Amen.
They honored him with their wealth, so to speak, and he always met their needs.
Yeah, you bring up a good point. Looking back in our lives and seeing how the Lord has provided is a great way to just see his goodness. And I think, too, every missionary biography I've ever read, I think there's always a piece in there about God's provision monetarily. These folks who are truly seeking first the kingdom of God, I mean, supernatural ways, the Lord just, money falls in their lap. I think of the book, God's Smuggler. I really recommend reading that. And I'm reading John Patton's autobiography. And I just read this morning while he was working, before he went to the mission field, he was sending money back to his family. And he mentions there, God provided for every need he had, even as he gave so much to his family. And he said specifically, the Lord kept him debt free. And I would wager, this isn't a hard rule, but those who tend to store up wealth, it's probably more likely that they would have more money troubles. And when you see people giving themselves to the Lord in these ways, you see his hand just move in mighty ways.
Yeah, amen.
Yeah. Well, if this episode was helpful to you, please do us a favor and write a quick review on iTunes. Or if you have Android, PC, I'm sorry, I can't give you any insight into how to do it that way. But
if you just go, whatever app that you're using, yes, to listen to this podcast, write a review on that app. My iPhone friend here is a little challenged.
Yeah,
in,
I'm
in
sorry.
The other worlds.
Yeah, and what that's going to do, it's going to help us spread the word. And also, like, share, and subscribe while you're at it. And don't forget the contest. Get those questions in so that you can win the cool stuff at missionalware.com. Well, until next time.
All right.
This has been Truth and Circumstances. You can visit our website at truthandcircumstances.com. If you have any questions you'd like to hear us address on the podcast, you can email those to questions@truthandcircumstances.com. You can also follow us on Twitter and ask your questions there. Truth and Circumstances is a ministry of Providence Bible Fellowship in Westchester, Ohio.